Father, we praise you for the day that you have given unto us, Lord. This Palm Sunday, the 2,000 years ago, Lord, riding into Jerusalem, proclaiming yourself, Lord, the Messiah, the King. And Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that the entirety of your word is truth. And we can, Lord, turn to that. And Father, you always hear our prayers and our cries. I pray this morning, somehow, some way, as you always do, Lord. I pray for the sheep of your pasture. I know that each and every soul that's here, including the one in the pulpit, Lord, we all have needs. We all have burdens. We all have things that may be weighing on us this morning. But Lord, I'm asking you right now, by your divine grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, asking that the sheep of your pasture, Father, would lay aside every burden that they may have, and they would focus totally upon the word that you have given me for this Palm Sunday. May every heart be open to your divine truth, O Lord. May you help me to teach your word as you always do, Lord, faithfully and accurately. Let me hold absolutely nothing back, and Lord, let me say only the things you would have me say this morning. I pray that every ear is open to what the Spirit of God is saying. We pray that, we believe that, we love you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. On this Sunday, this Palm Sunday, I want to speak to us, this church, each of us specifically. You know, it was 2,000 years ago when the Lord, on this Palm Sunday, as you already know, he rode into Jerusalem. And that was a long time ago, amen? 2,000 years have passed since that. We call that the triumphal entry of Christ. It was the time when Jesus closes out his public ministry, if you will, and now the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is going to go to the cross. I'm going to give you 1,000 scriptures this morning, so you can probably write all of those down. In about 30 minutes, you'll be ending up in Matthew chapter 28. So that's where you're going to end up. In the meantime, though, I want you to listen to the scriptures that I'm going to be sharing with you on this Palm Sunday. You know, remember that the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, that which is all has already been fulfilled, tells us that the exact day that Jesus, on Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, the day he entered Jerusalem. We know from Daniel 9 that that was April the 6th, A.D. 32. He entered in Jerusalem on the very exact day that he was supposed to. Now, not only that, on this Palm Sunday, we know that Zechariah's prophecy tell us how he entered in Jerusalem, and we remember how that was done, bringing salvation. It says, and he came in riding upon a donkey, okay? A colt of a foal. And he comes into Jerusalem. We know all this already, that Jesus entered into the exact city, Jerusalem, on the exact day, April 6th, A.D. 32, on the exact animal, to the exact people, Jerusalem, and it had to be by only one person, and it would be Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. Amen? Now listen carefully. Those prophecies have already been fulfilled all those years ago. And you know, the hosannas that we study and we cry out, you know, oh Lord, save now, you know, Son of David and so forth. Listen, they have long ago subsided. Oh, it's wonderful. Praise God that we know that. Praise the Lord that we know that the Word of God is true. Amen? Amen. Yes. And that everything that God said that was going to come to pass is coming to pass, or has come to pass. And we know that the Jews, they rejected their Messiah. They missed the time of their visitation and so forth. Now, with all that being said, we can move from the triumphal entry to one of the saddest days in human history, and that is the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That was 2,000 years behind us as well. We've already studied out the sixth cry from the cross, "It is finished." Amen? And it'll always, and I pray it is forever fresh and forever alive in your hearts, even this very minute. For when Jesus said, "It is finished," in John chapter 19, verse 30, he didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." He paid our sin debt in full. Amen. all of it's been paid. Matter of fact, the Greek would read like this: it is finished, it stands finished, and it will always be finished. He tasted death for us. He defeated sin, death, hell, the grave, the devil, all of it for you and for me. And then after the crucifixion, 2,000 years ago, you know that he was placed in a tomb. We studied that out last Sunday. But that was 2,000 years ago. Jesus is not in the empty tomb. Our faith is not in the tomb. It is in the risen Savior. Amen? Yes. We trust the Lord. What did the angel say? Matthew 28:6. He went and said, listen, he is risen just as he said. But that was 2,000 years ago. Loved one, listen. Palm Sunday, the crucifixion, the resurrection are timeless. Man, they are so living in our hearts, and they are precious, and they are valued by each and every true believer of God. We know that 40 days later, after Jesus was raised from the dead, what happened then? Somebody just say it. It's okay. We're the early service. No one cares. He ascended. Amen? He went out. He led them out and so forth. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 about the ascension. Let me read it to you. And now when Jesus had spoken these things, and while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He just slipped out right into eternity, loved one. And while they looked steadfastly, meaning the disciples, it says, looking steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven, there's that word again three times so far, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Heaven, four times in verses Acts 1, 9 through 11. Heaven is a real place. Our Savior is seated there at the right hand of God. Amen? He's done it all. He's done everything for you and for me. He's the head of the church. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:22 that Jesus, it says, he has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels, authorities, powers, having been, that's past tense, made subject, or literally submitting unto him. Jesus is the ruler of everything, amen, the seen and the unseen. It says in Hebrews 1:3, it says, talking about our Lord, it says, and when he had, that's past tense again, when he had by himself purged our sins, he did that on earth, it says, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That means in heaven. Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had suffered, offered rather one sacrifice, he did that on earth himself, for sins forever, thank God they're paid for, he sat down at the right hand of God, and that is in heaven. Now, 10 days after the ascension, his ascension was what we call, and they call, the day of what? Pentecost. And what happened on the day of Pentecost? Well, it was the birth of the church, amen? Remember, it says in Acts 2:32, and Jesus, having been raised up, of which we are all witnesses, Peter, this is from his sermon, he says, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, again, in heaven, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you now, you see what's happening, Peter says, and you hear. So the one who has all authority in heaven and upon earth, and who, loved one, who is seated at the right hand of God this very moment, who is there for you and for me, loved one, listen, he, on the day of Pentecost, he poured out himself the promise of the Father. What was the promise of the Father that the 120 experienced in the upper room on that day? It was the endowment of power from upon high. Luke 24, verses 49. Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of the Father, my Father, upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from upon high. That's not the new birth. They were already born again. But this promise, loved one, is also to you and to me and to the next generation if the Lord tarries, and the next generation. Amen? The Bible tells us in Acts 2:39, for this promise, meaning the endowment of power, is to you, to your children, to all who are afar off, meaning every generation until Jesus takes the church away, and as many as the Lord God will call. A promise is a promise, but when we make it, we may break it. But when God makes a promise, it's unbreakable, it is unchangeable, for God cannot lie. Amen? Oh, that's so important for us to grasp that. And then the words that Jesus spoke to the disciples before Pentecost, right there at Pentecost, remember, his last words, they were worried about, well, Lord, when are you going to set up your kingdom? And he said, listen, it's not for you to know the times and seasons of my Father. And then he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power. That word is dunamis, which means ability, if you will. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, not in you, but upon you. It's a new preposition that Jesus is using there from Luke to Acts, okay? Hapi, if you will. He comes upon you. And it says this, and when he comes upon you, listen carefully, you shall be witnesses, or literally, you shall be my witnesses to me. Witnesses to me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. No Christian can be a witness to Christ anywhere in the world unless they are filled with the supernatural power of the living God. Amen? Very important. We have to have that to be his witnesses. Now listen carefully. Palm Sunday today, 2,000 years ago, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, the birth of the church, the pouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church, power from on high, all those things, even though the endowment is still available today, but all of those things, those events, they are behind us now. Amen?
Yes, amen.
They have been fulfilled. Is that correct? So important to see that. Listen, Jesus did not ride into Jerusalem to fulfill Zechariah's prophecy. He did not die on the cross. He did not rise from the dead. He did not ascend to heaven. He did not pour out the Holy Spirit of God. He did not overcome the world and conquer sin, death, the devil, hell, and all of it for us. For the church of the 21st century to be a silent witness.
Yes.
Do you understand? A silent witness. A silent Christian can save no person. None at all. I say this with such tender love this morning. I love you guys, but I need to know, I've really been praying. Why is it that the church, I hope it's not us, but maybe it is us too. Why is the church so silent today? I mean, we have been entrusted with the greatest message ever given on this planet. Amen?
Yes.
We've been entrusted with it. Are we not excited about it? How can the most powerful people on the planet remain so quiet, so silent? Did you know that we are the only people on earth, the believer, who can fulfill the Great Commission? No one else on earth can do that. Did you know that? No one else at all. Only the only plan, loved one, that Jesus has is you, the church. And he is the head of the church. The Bible says in John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world might through him be saved. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, the Son of Man, when he was crying out, he said, oh, the Son of Man didn't come to condemn. No, he came to seek and to save the lost. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:4, God desires all men to be saved. Well, if our Father desires all men to be saved, and Jesus came to seek the lost and save them. And if Jesus said to the disciples and to us in Mark 1:17, when he cried out, follow me, follow me, travel with me, come with me right now, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Loved one, listen. It makes no sense then, if the church is not truly following him, then how in the world are we going to be fishers of men? It's impossible unless we follow him. I read an article yesterday by Tom Rainer. He was the president of Lifeway Christian Resources. And this is what he said. He wrote an article in the Christian Post. He says, any prayerful approach to evangelism is better than what most churches are doing, because most churches are doing little or nothing talking about America. One author also writes from the Southern Baptist movement. He says membership has so declined for 10 consecutive years. Now listen carefully. It takes one whole year for 54 Southern Baptists to win one person to faith in Jesus Christ. His next comment says, this is a tragedy. I just read yesterday evening an unscientific Twitter poll. And it was addressed to church leaders and church members. And here is a specific question the person asked to pastors and all Christians. And matter of fact, when it went out, it filled up immediately. He says this, why do you think many churches aren't as evangelistic as they once were? Let me give you just a few of the top 15 responses, and I won't give you 15, but just listen to these. Here's one response. Now, I'm not saying this. I'm saying what I read, okay? It says, Christians have no sense of urgency to reach the lost people any longer. Many Christians and church members are lazy and apathetic. Church membership today is more about getting my needs met rather than reaching the lost. Church members are in retreat mode as our culture becomes more worldly and unbiblical. Many church members don't really believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And may I add, and not do a lot of pastors anymore. Our churches are no longer houses of prayer. We are, amen. Christians do not want to share the truth of the gospel for fear they will offend others. Political correctness is too commonplace, even among Christians. Now, would you permit me to just add to that and give you my two cents? Is that okay? It's not going to hurt anyone, but here's what I think. Here's what I think's happened today. I think that we have gotten over our salvation. That Jesus is just routine. That passion has turned to mediocrity. Whew. I said, oh God, are we no longer excited about what you've done for us? Have we forgotten that day, how you saved us, changed us? Dear God. I think, oh Lord, the mindset today in Christianity, loved one, the mindset is that Christians are more concerned with, they make their list out of what they want in the church that they're looking for or attending, and the lost are not even in their minds. You know, I understand that, you know, that the location, of course, is important, you know, that, and we have to have all these different things today. But may I, you know, we've got to have the kids' church, the youth program, the buildings. But you know what we've done in the last 20 years, the church in America? We've created a church that really, it's just about us. It's about our needs. We've created that atmosphere of such entertainment and, oh, we have every program. Your kids are going to be so pumped, so excited. Man, we bring in gigantic teachers and whatever it might be. And boy, they flock to all of that. And yet, where's Jesus at? Where is the Lord? You know, I mean, I understand that they want the pastors today to be tender, slender, You know, they want them to be challenging. They don't want the pulpit to challenge anyone or to provoke anyone. They want the man who stands up here to be very, very polite and of course, absolutely perfect, which that is not true in any pulpit. Listen, it's amazing to me that the early church, the uneducated fishermen, tax collectors, prostitutes, the people that came to Christ, they had to be commanded by the government at that time, and the Sanhedrin, of course, to not teach or speak or preach in the name of Jesus. You know the story in Acts. Peter said, well, we must obey God rather than you. Sorry. You know what I mean? And I look at all of that, and have we forgotten that Christianity is supernatural? Have we forgotten that the new birth is supernatural? And if our lives are not supernatural, loved one, then they are going to be superficial. Listen, the church that just looked to Jesus, where fear of God was the norm, where the supernatural was the norm, turned this world upside down, their world upside down. Well, you know what? It's our turn to turn this world upside down. Because this world is, our nation specifically, is falling apart. Now, you've had ample time to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Amen? Now, let's look together at verse 18, if you don't mind, after the resurrection, our Lord speaking. The Lord says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, meaning those that are born again, they want to follow him and so forth. And look what he says, all authority, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Loved one, no one in any generation until the day that Jesus returns can make that claim except our Lord. Amen? Now, the resurrection of Christ authorizes you to do something, for you to go. There's no place that Jesus doesn't rule. There is no nation. Wherever he sends us, he says, you just go. I authorize you to go. The only place that Christ is not ruling today is in the hearts of those that are dead in trespasses and sins and those that are lost. Listen to me. Is there any, does that word become so familiar with us that we don't get it any longer? Listen, the Creator, the sustainer of all the universe, the one who holds all things together, the one who has been given a name above every name, and one day every tongue will confess and every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Does the words of Christ, does it have any effect upon us and the church at large today? You see, because the Creator, the Sustainer, what did he just do? He has just given us full authority to go spread the good news anywhere on this planet. Amen? Yes, anywhere, on your city streets, in your workplace, wherever it might be. But yet, you know the statistics. I have quoted it. Pastors all over the country have quoted it. 95% of all Christians today will never, never once in their lifetime lead one single person to faith in Jesus Christ. I don't want us to be in that statistic. Amen. I don't know. Lord, forgive us. You know, I don't want to do that. Look at verse 19, because the resurrection reveals to us our responsibility that we have, loved one. Jesus says, go, therefore. In other words, I have all authority. Now go. And make disciples. Now that is a command, loved one. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, next week we're going to celebrate the resurrection. But if Jesus did not rise, there's no reason for us to go. Amen? We might as well throw the book away. If Jesus is not alive, I don't even know why I'm here this morning, you know. But the truth is, he is alive. Yes. And let me tell you something. I don't know how to explain this next verse. But you know what? How many of you would say, oh, Lord, I just want to feel you. I mean, the immediate presence of the living Christ. Look at verse, was it 20? Let's look at it. Or 19? No, verse 20, that's right. And teaching them, Jesus says, to observe all things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to search your hearts. Do you, I'm not talking about believing something theologically. That's a wonderful thing to do, to have that up here. But loved one, it has to be transferred from here to right here. I'm asking you a question. Do you really believe that Jesus, he is with me right now? Right now. Right this minute. He is with me always. He is with me always. He is with you always. He is with you always. Every second, every minute. Lo, even until the end of the age. Is that a true living revelation in your heart and in the heart of this place that we call Calvary Chapel? I mean, think about it. Jesus, he is really, I have the immediate presence of the Lord, the continued presence of the Lord. Yeah, but Bill, I don't know where to go. How do I know where to go? You know what? Let me read Mark's gospel to you. I'll tell you how to know. Listen to what it says. And they went out and preached everywhere. That's where you go. You go everywhere. Amen? Say amen. Amen. Oh, you're so nice. And listen carefully. Let me just read that to you. Where is that? It says on the Great Commission again. It says, Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, he says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, every creature. Here it comes. He who believes. Okay, this person you believe, now you're born again. He who believes is baptized will be saved. And he who does not believe will be condemned or judged or damned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Who are those that believe? The ones that you just got saved. The ones that just came to Christ. And these signs will follow those who believe. What are those signs? Well, in my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up, if they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now listen. And so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. There he is. And it says, and they went out and preached everywhere, everywhere, not just one, everywhere they went. And the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. When is the last time you laid hands on the sick? When is the last time you prayed for an unbeliever and laid hands upon them? You know, I've seen more unbelievers healed than believers. You see, Jesus is with you. He is, I'm right here to work with you. Obey me. This is the year God says, prove me now. You cannot prove God unless you obey God. Amen? The moment you obey, you're proving God. God says, okay, I'm faithful. I'm going to do what I said I would do. He knows it. He just takes you. You don't have to be have a PhD in theology. You don't have to have a doctor in front of your name. You don't even have to have a high school education. You don't even have to have ever gone to school. You could be like Amos in the Old Testament, a sheepherd or farmer, didn't know anything. He wasn't trained. Man, we need Amos's today that speaks back to the children of God and says, whoa, woe to you. Things are not well in Zion anymore. That's what we need from the pulpit. Listen, God will use you. You don't have to be afraid of an unbeliever. You've overcome the world, loved one. You're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Amen? Listen, you have so much in you that is so ready to get out of you to those that are lost and are hurting. But you have to open your mouth. You just have to be bold. You know, isn't it amazing that Peter, when he was preaching, he says, oh, Lord, we will grant unto us boldness when they forbid them to speak in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want boldness. And the whole place was shaken. But you know what? Isn't it funny that he was talking about boldness to go out and win the lost? Now we have to have boldness to encourage the Christian to go out and win the lost. God says, oh no, listen. No, everywhere. Did you know that if this church, if just every person that belonged to this church would win one person to Christ this week and bring that person to church, we would have to start a third service. Do you know that? We'd have to have three Sunday morning services. What a blessing that would be, amen? Listen, in 7 days, you know, here we are, another year, another celebration. And we should celebrate all that Jesus did for us. Yes, he's alive, and yes, he's returning for us one day. But you know what? There's going to be a lot of people. Usually we never know what's going to happen on Easter. But, you know, normally we're packed. You know, sometimes we have upwards to 1,000 people here on Easter for all the services, including our kiddos. And you know what? There's going to be the C&Es are going to be here, you know? Christmas and Easter Christians. I haven't seen any of those since Christmas. But they're, hey, Pastor, they're like, and I'm going to remember your name? You come twice a year? They're going to be here, loved one. Radio listeners, they're going to be here too. People wanting to know if this is a place they want to invest their family, they're going to be here too. But the question we have to ask us, will the hurting and the backslidden and the lost, will they be here? They won't be unless we bring them. I have two that I want here next Sunday. Two. One of them is just a little girl. You have the power. You have been given the authority. You know, I'm not going to repent and ask you to forgive me for repeating a scripture I'm about to repeat. It's embedded in my heart. And you know, have you ever asked yourself, you know, like, I met this person in church last Sunday, and they gave me their name, and then I come to church and I can't remember their name. Does it ever happen to you? Yes, it happens to me daily. But you know what? You remember 20 million songs from 40 years ago. You remember every word, you know, yesterday. You know, don't you? I mean, you know the words, you know, or the classic, you know, yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy, yeah? And I think I'm loving you, you know. And I mean, you don't, where that comes from? I don't listen to that any longer. But you know what? The reason I know those songs over and because I listen to them over and over and over and over, repetition, right? That's why I'm giving you this scripture again, because you need to hear it every day of your life until it's in here. Let me read it to you. Proverbs 24:11. Deliver those who are drawn toward death. Hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. The word deliver means to rescue. It tells the Christian, it says, listen, there are people that are drawn toward death. They don't even know it. There are people that are stumbling to the slaughter, into hell. They don't even know it. They don't have a clue about it. But you know what? You know it, don't you? You know what happens to those that do not come to Christ, that are dead in trespasses and sins, that Jesus died for? If they're not told the truth and spoken in love, not eloquence or because, oh, I've got it down, the Roman wrote, no, what? No. Listen, God says, you know what to do. That's why it goes on. It says, if you say, surely we don't know this, we claim ignorance, we're just uninformed, we don't have a clue, you know, well, that's a lie then, isn't it? Because we are fishers of men. We don't have any excuse. He says, does not he, meaning God, does not he who weighs the hearts, he looks at our motives, consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know of it? And will he not repay to each man according to his deeds? You know, this is not, but it is, but it isn't, a plea for all of us to bring the lost, not just at Easter or Resurrection Sunday, loved one, but every time these doors are open, that we bring a lost person. Ask the Lord, say, Lord, help me. Where are they? Just tell me what you want me to do. It's the easiest time of year, of course, Easter or Christmas. You know that, and so do I. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, 30, I believe it is, he who wins souls is wise. The Amplified Version says he who captures souls alive wins them for God. That's exactly what we must do. Now, let me ask you a question.
Someone said this. Someone said, we, the church, have become good church members that have the same impact upon the lost world as before we were saved.
None at all. I this morning I was thinking, do you think of the lost every day? Do you think about the lost every day? Do you have a person that is lost that you're praying for? I do. That doesn't mean I'm better or more holy or any of that, but I do. I want them saved because I see the horrible, horrible road in front of them and the suffering that they're going to go through. I want to see people change, don't you? Is the lost on your mind? You know, I had a dream last night, and I was downtown Fort Worth. And it was, I don't know if it was morning or evening, but I was right there by the Worthington Hotel. I think it's called the Renaissance now. I don't really know, but that's where I was. And I was on the street, and there was a person across the street, this guy, and there was a woman walking. And he was kind of moving, you know, had some groovy moves, you know. And he walked up and said, oh, man, I haven't seen you in so long. And he said, have you transitioned to Jesus? And I was on the other side. I was, what? Transitioned? That means, well, I used to be a teenager, now I'm an adult. You see what I mean? Transition. No, you can't transition to Jesus. You have to be born from above. You have to be born again. You have to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You know, Pastor Chuck taught us, all Calvary pastors, he said, listen, healthy sheep produce healthy sheep. And you know, he said, if you do that, just teach the word, all through the Bible, he says, they'll do the rest. In my prayer time this morning, I told the Lord, I said, maybe I misunderstood what he meant. Because Lord, I teach through the word of God, but I don't think Calvary Chapel Fort Worth is a soul-winning church. And I said, I believe that I teach them a healthy word because it's not my word, it is your word. And I know that the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, following, you know, about the Lord that he gave, you know, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, you know, and he did them for something, for the equipping of the saints of God, for the equipping of the saints of God. Amen. And it tells us what for. It says for the work of the ministry, meaning that every sheep, every Christian is a minister. All of you are ministers of God. All of you have been called to be ambassadors for Christ. I'm encouraging you with love. I want you to think about lost people. I want you to remember what it's like to be lost and confused and hurting and miserable. Remember that. You know, we are saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. We have nothing to boast about. Amen. But we are the only people on earth that have a voice that can set a person free. I encourage you to think about the lost. Find the lost ones and then say, they're going to be on my prayer list. And then start bringing the lost here or leading them to the Lord yourself, please. You see,
That's what you're called to do until Jesus comes back. The Great Commission is part of our vision statement. Amen? And that just doesn't mean the work that we do in Mexico. It's the work that we do right here as well. You know, this hasn't been a salvation message this morning where I'm crying out to those that are lost, but I'll tell you something. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, then you're lost. I want you. Jesus wants you. He died for you. The Bible, Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? But what would that man give for his soul? I don't know how people sell out today, but I know what God would give for that man's soul. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And if you're here this morning and Jesus Christ is not your Lord, he's not your Savior, then I ask you to come to him. I'm asking you to come to this altar this morning as we close out in prayer, that you come as a song is ending. You come and you'll find people that will pray for you and love you and lead you to Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, church, listen, I know it's time to go, but I want to ask you, are we going to be a soul-winning church? That didn't say much to me, but I pray the Holy Spirit convicts you then, that that is a main concern. Father, I know again that there are many, many burdens upon your people this morning. And Lord God, we didn't focus on us. We focused on those that you died for, that you went to the cross for, those that are dead in trespasses and sins, good people, hardworking people, Lord, and also those that are wicked and mean. Lord, you died for all the world. May this church wake up while there's time. May we do business until you come, Jesus. Help me to teach, to encourage them. Help me, Lord. I want to see the lost saved. Baptize every believer right now. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon this church, these people, right now. Endue them with power from upon high to be your witnesses, Lord. And use them. Signs and wonders and healings. Use them. And may the revelation that Jesus, that you are always with them, become real, relevant in their lives. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand.